All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one this week.
Right into it. I feel like there's, like, on the one hand, like, there's a lot to talk about because we're the movie business, the movie world is back in theaters and we're sort of back to it. But once you finish talking about Tenet, although I do want to say, and it's not performing very well at the box office, but I continue to hear such good things about Unhinged.
Oh, really?
Just being like a goofy, like whatever, not a great movie or whatever, but so much fun. So I'm going to watch Unhinged this week.
Okay.
In addition to, I think we're playing in a different movie for next week, but on my own, I'm going to go watch Unhinged. Yeah.
Why not?
I think that'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be all right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to just jump right into the news. And Rob Bat-Battenbat. He got the COVID.
Buddy Bats.
Yeah. Bobby Bats. So the Batman is on pause for a little bit. How do you think about that?
I got a conflicting report.
Oh.
I read on JoeBlow.com that they are filming without him.
Really?
They're filming the scenes without him that don't involve Batman and Bruce Wayne, and where absolutely necessary, they're using stand-ins.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's JoeBlow.com. I'm not saying that's like the friggin' Wall Street Journal or New York Times, but I mean, they're not idiots either. They, you know, they're usually in the know.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if everyone's there.
Right.
Like, make money while the sun shines, you know?
Yeah. Here's what I think about it, honestly. Like, The film comes out in October of 2021.
Right.
Like, we're talking about the star being unavailable for a couple weeks or maybe 3 weeks or whatever. Like, in the big picture of things, I don't think this is – you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a couple years ago when we were talking about Daniel Craig sprained his ankle. Because we were all so psyched up to watch No Time to Die or, you know, talk about No Time to Die.
Yeah.
And so we just – anything that happened, we talked about it. And I feel like this is the same thing. I feel like it's not really news – except for the fact that it is interesting because it's one of the more anticipated movies of 21. And also because it's COVID. I mean, it's sort of an interesting, like, it's not 2 years ago, we would have never, nobody, you know, got COVID. We never heard of it or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, it's kind of interesting to see how COVID affects, you know, the ongoing productions. But I did, in the article I read, I don't know if you saw this in the one you were perusing, they did say that the director was making some specific comments about he's still, even though Bobby Bats came down with the Rona, as we call it, came down with the Rona, he still feels as though production is safe and the set is safe and they're still going to great lengths, you know, to make sure that the production stays safe amid the new safety precautions. So hopefully Bobby Bats, I have a friend who tested positive for COVID and he was very fortunate because he just sort of felt a little bit off, you know, for a few days and stayed home for the remaining 2 weeks quarantine. And that was that. So hopefully that, you know, I know that I'm sure we all know different people for whom COVID has been quite serious and maybe even fatal. And then also people like my friend who just sort of got a little sick for a couple days. So hopefully Bobby Bats is okay and able to finish up. But wouldn't that be a hell of a twist if he wasn't able to finish the movie?
Oh, my Jeez. Word. Yeah.
Stop it.
Get out of town. Well, good.
No, I was just going to say, we have a trailer that is on our list today that was billed in the trailer, they say, the first great science fiction movie of the decade.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
First of all, I take great issue with that statement, but that's a nice segue right into the sci-fi thriller from Quiet Place writers Scott Beck and Brian Woods, and producer Sam Raimi, who might have a thing or two to say about science fiction movies. And Adam Driver is starring in this new sci-fi movie called 65. What do we know about this?
Not much, other than that it was, you know, it's from the writers, from A Quiet Place. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's just very quiet, just to kind of just like dip it in with a little bit of knowledge. Like, boop.
I like that lineup, though. I love Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing, amazingly talented. And I mean, I can't say that I even knew who wrote A Quiet Place, but if Scott Beck and Brian Woods wrote it, then I'm on board for 65. And of course, Sam Raimi needs no introduction. So to me, this is kind of like, I don't know anything about this movie and I'm on board.
Hmm. Well, how about some news about movies that we do know about?
And do care about.
Care in quotation. Paramount set some new dates for their movies.
All right, now wait a minute. Before we get into this, we're about to drop on you four movies with four release dates.
Right.
And David, if you could only watch one of these movies, or let me rephrase that. If you had to watch one of these movies, which would it be? That's what I want you to think about in the back of your mind while we're talking about these movies. If you had to watch one.
I don't know which one I would choose. All right, Scream 5, January 2022.
This is the one where the news article said Courtney Cox will be screaming into her phone again in January of 2022. Okay?
Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe, October 22nd, 2021.
Okay.
They're still trying to make that a thing.
So far, I'm 0 for 2, but go ahead.
Yeah. Paranormal Activity, whatever number, the next one. March 4th, 2022.
Wouldn't that be the third one, I think?
No, it's like five or six, dude.
Oh, is it that high?
Because it's like there's Paranormal Activity, like the main ones, and then there's Paranormal Activity, like with subtitles.
Oh, okay.
Or not subtitles. Subtitles. Like, they have a different title. Clifford the Big Red Dog, November 5th, 2021. I got to be honest. I'm leaning hard on Clifford.
Absolutely. I'm all in. 100%. I'm going to go see Clifford the Big Red Dog. You're not going to get me to see Snake Eyes, period.
Oh, my gosh. Curiosity might draw me in on that one. I'll be honest, but.
No, here's where the curiosity goes for me on that one. I will be curious to hear what you think of it. I will not be curious enough to spend 2 hours watching it.
Okay. All right.
Scream 5, I would go if, like, some buddies were like, hey, you know, let's go watch Scream 5, blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of looks like it might be amusing, you know, maybe not. I don't know. And Paranormal Activity, like, my God, no way.
No way. I don't think I've seen any of the Scream movies. My knowledge of Scream is 90% from Scary Movie.
I thought that was the same thing.
Exactly, right? All right. Ed Solomon revealed that he and Bill and Ted co-writer Chris Mathersons are actively trying to revive automatons in an abandoned stop-motion feature film written and recorded 15 years ago. Now, I say written and recorded 15 years ago, the cast, off the chains. William Dafoe, like, big names. All big names, right? They never produced this film. Now, let me give you the synopsis of this film and see if you still want to see it. All right.
testing the boundaries of our willingness. Okay.
Right. The story concerns two robots created during World War II to stop Hitler, wandering around the bottom of the ocean for 70 years after their submarine was scuttled by enemy forces. The duo eventually emerge in Minneapolis, St. Paul, still trying to find Hitler. But somehow, the pressure of being underwater has created a little bit of human characteristic, so they are unfortunately totally insecure and neurotic. That's the first half of the story. Are you on board so far?
I mean, how do you get from the ocean to Minneapolis? Okay. All right. I mean, all right. I'm on board so far. I'm tentatively on board.
All right. In the premise, Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini happen to be in Minneapolis because they've frozen themselves cryogenically and are trying to redeem themselves by putting on a production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. But they don't get the rights, so they have to write their very own version called You're a Very Good Boy, Charlie Brown Blue. Or, I'm sorry, You're a Very Good Boy, Charlie Blue. They try to perform it, and Otto and Rob basically are there trying to stop them.
Wait a minute. Is this a joke?
No.
Is this some kind of joke on Penn?
There's a reason why it wasn't made 15 years ago. I can tell you that much.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I'll tell you what the thing is. The thing is...
Wait. What's the thing?
The thing. Let me break it down for you. This sounds so ridiculous, I'm kind of on board. Let me ask you this. Is this a straight-up comedy?
Oh, like, it must be. It has to be.
Yeah. I would like to smoke whatever they were smoking when they came up with the idea of this plot.
Yeah, seriously. I'm going to see if I don't know if I can find the actual stuff about it, but the list of names in this movie was insane. It was like just as long as the like written up thing I have in here, just of names.
I think this movie is going to be as good as the many, many, many jokes that have nothing to do with the plot that they can land. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. I want to say Monty Python, but, you know, something along those lines in terms of, like, ridiculousness that's brilliant.
I guess we'll see when it finally gets made.
Oh, boy. Staying on the sci-fi thriller thread.
Oh, this one's all for you, man.
Mattson Tomlin will direct a Mother Android. No, we'll direct a movie called Mother Android, starring Chloe Grace Greta Moretz as Georgia, a woman who, with her boyfriend Sam, quote, goes on a treacherous journey to escape their country, which is caught in an unexpected war with artificial intelligence. Days away from the arrival of their first child, the couple must face no man's land, a stronghold of the android uprising, in the hopes of reaching safety before giving birth. Didn't we see this movie when it was called Terminator?
Right.
I mean, the only thing, I don't know. I mean, do we want to, I don't know. Do we want a 9-month pregnant mom as our hero?
Moms are capable of so much, Penn. I think this is embarrassing that you would think otherwise. You don't think a mother can be a hero? Is that what you're saying?
That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't have a ton of experience with women that are 9 months pregnant, but the ones that I have had experience with, they're not like running through battlefields. I mean, they're heroes for 100,000 other reasons, but they're not running through battlefields, throwing hand grenades and fighting off, I don't know, androids and Terminators.
What if this is the role that puts Chloe Grace Moretz on everyone else's map? She's already on your map.
I don't think she's on anybody's. I don't think I feel like she had her shot. Don't you think, wasn't she in Sucker Punch?
I don't remember if it was Sucker Punch. She was in Kick-Ass 1 and 2.
Yeah.
For and sure.
I might be wrong. Maybe she was not in Sucker Punch, but I feel like she already had her shot, and I feel like she is on the down. Before Greta, I think Greta was the indicator that she's on the down, on the downward trajectory.
I don't understand. You own so many copies of that movie, though. DVD, Laserdisc,
VHS, Betamax.
All right. Yeah, I think she's out the door. But anyway.
She was not in Sucker Punch, just for the record.
Okay.
Whew. So Oof. No need to write in and
She was in the Snyder cut of Sucker Punch. That's the problem. Yeah. All right. So here's some interesting story stuff about Star Wars. I put this in here just because it makes me happy, and I knew it might irritate you a little bit.
Might?
Yeah. So Star Wars, Disney, maybe you heard
of it. Hey, David, I have a new joke that I tell at cocktail parties.
Okay.
Right? I'm like hanging out. There's a vibe in the room, and everyone's
like, how many cocktail parties are you going to these days?
Footloose and fancy free. We're all packed in there shoulder to shoulder, eating some hors d'oeuvres, enjoying some apps, if you will. And naturally, every single time, the topic of David Moulton comes up.
Clearly.
You know, obviously. And so I have this new joke that I like to tell people.
Yeah.
Hey, how can you tell when David is annoying me?
When he's talking?
When his lips are moving. And now you're going to come at me with this Star Wars trailer.
Yeah.
Or this Star Wars story, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Get ready to get extra annoyed then. So as you know, they made some movies. Right, Star Wars movies.
Some pretty great. I would even say some of the most iconic movies ever.
Well, yeah, but what about the sequels?
What
the sequel trilogy? Right, the Kathleen.
Right. There's some problems.
Yeah, what they're calling the Kathleen Kennedy era of Star Wars.
Ooh.
Right now, rumor on the mill was that Disney wants to redo the sequels, and Kathleen Kennedy is on the way out. Now,
redo.
Like, wipe them from the slate.
And so the rumor that you're referencing was proposing that there could be some world that we live in where we see a Star Wars 7, 8, 9 redone.
Right. Totally.
Wow.
Total different stories.
Now, that's crazy.
Because they're not happy with them. So, but more along the lines, what they've come out with is that Kathleen Kennedy is not fired. That's the right person, right? Whatever. The lady in charge of Star Wars, she's not fired, but her contract is up. They're not renewing it, and they're getting, you know, Joss Whedon and who was it? The guy who did
J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams, yeah. The two of them are going to lead Star Wars from this point on. So it's not that she's getting fired. They're just choosing not to renew her contract as it finishes up here. So there's that aspect of it. But here's the part that they're probably never going to redo these movies. But Disney has made the people in charge of Star Wars have said no Star Wars content going forward is going to involve or they're going to try to minimize any direct references to the sequels. So they're basically writing them out of continuity. You're not going to see Kylo or Rey or Finn or Cassian Andor involved in any of the upcoming shows or movies. They're all going to be separate stories placed away from the ending Skywalker stuff. So how do you feel about that, huh?
I'm sitting here going through a variety of emotions. I'm going through all my emotions at once. I don't know, the reactive part of me wants to, pound my fist on the table and say that's bogus and, you know, how dare you and blah, blah, blah. But there's a part of me that, is a little bit relieved, okay, that kind of opens the door for some fun ideas and some new directions, and you're not sort of bogged down by canon, as you like to say. But you know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of how my first thing is, how disrespectful. You can't disrespect the story and the previous characters. And, are we going to have an Avengers that, you know, pretended that Iron Man never happened? I just that makes me a little bit sad, but also put it this way. I guess I agree that that's probably a good idea. I guess that's where I'm at. Where are you at?
I agree that's a good idea. I want to correct myself. I said Cassian Andor, but I meant Dameron Poe. when I said they're not going to. Cassian Andor's, he has a series coming out. That's from Rogue One. But anyway, I am in agreement this is probably a good thing. I think they were leaning towards this way anyway. They kind of talked about, you know, kind of doing spinoff stories and maybe an Obi-Wan series. You've got The Mandalorian going on, that kind of thing. I am a little surprised that they're not going to have these characters show up. I guess the article that I read said that there's a Lego Star Wars game coming out, and then mm-hmm. after that, that'll be the last time that we'll really be seeing Kylo Ren and Rey featured prominently in anything going forward for quite some time. And also the actors have all basically come out and said they don't want to do any more Star Wars. You know, they don't want to be involved in it in any way. So that kind of like shuts down the voice acting and stuff. You got to get other people to do the voice acting.
It's tricky. I don't know. Did we talk last week about Daisy Ridley?
Yeah.
I mean, I even like did like a smidge, nothing fancy. I just sort of looked her up and tried to Google her name and see, you know, I was hoping that what I was going to find was that even though I wasn't up to speed on her work, that she was actually really busy. And she was, I think last week we talked about how she was complaining that she hasn't gotten any offers or whatever. And yeah, I mean, she doesn't have anything on the, nothing significant on the horizon, like some documentaries and some animated stuff. And I guess she's going to do the voice in the Lego movie. I guess this is a tricky time for Star Wars. I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, they got stuff going on. It's just not that Mandalorian comes out, this month sometime?
Yeah, but that's not movies.
Yeah.
That's TV. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there any literature that supports like an episode 10?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So that's part of the problem, right? Is that the continuity would have to be written, would have to be, you know, sort of thought up. And so I guess it makes kind of sense. I guess what would make me most happy would be a totally fresh go at Star Wars by J.J. Abrams and the other dude, and a little wink and a nod similar to maybe like Star Trek, although that had continuity to it. But I don't know. I just feel like you got to throw me a bone. You got to throw like a little something, even just reference, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Reference Han Solo or reference Darth Vader, just in passing. It doesn't even have to do anything with the plot. I don't need them on screen. I don't need anything. But just some comment made somewhere throughout the movie that reassures me this is Star Wars.
Well, that's what you're missing it. Han Solo and Chewbacca, sure, fine. We're talking, they're not going to be referencing 7, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Oh.
So they're specifically cutting out characters.
Oh, shit.
From 7, 8, and 9.
Oh.
Star Wars is still going, baby, just not with that stuff.
So we're going to get episode 4, 5, 6, and 6.5.
Yeah, basically.
And then 6 3/4, 6 4/5.
And then spin-off stories from that. And they'll just never address, you know, the Kylo Ray stuff.
I mean, that would be cool. That would be cool. I would be totally on board with that. Although I feel bad for Daisy Ridley. I feel bad for all of them because I will, to my dying day, defend 7, 8, and 9. I thought that was an exciting trilogy. I know there was problematic. I know that, you know, now that I've had time to reflect on it and from spending all my time with you, I know it doesn't live up to 4, 5, and 6. Are we all in agreement that 7, 8, and 9 was better than 1, 2, and 3? At least give me that, David Moulton.
I don't know, dog.
Oh my God, what's the matter with you? Okay, let me go get Jar Jar Binks and we'll have this conversation.
I don't know, man. I might watch Revenge of the Sith before I watch 8 or 9.
You should stop drinking before you do the podcast.
Somebody's going to keep the liquor stores in business.
All right. Well, all right. I'm going to pretend that that little mini conversation didn't happen. All right. I actually, now that I understand better what you're saying, I think that's a really good idea and probably very healthy, and I'll be excited to see what comes next.
Yeah. All right, final bit of news here. And this came from all over. Joel Codes even wrote us in about this. Mulan. Yeah, you know, went straight to video on demand. It's only $30.
I'm not impressed. Plus, they spent how many hundreds of millions of dollars to make a TV movie?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
It's only $30 to own, plus a subscription plan of $8 a month that'll surely go up soon.
That's great.
Yeah, except for if you pay that $30, hey, by the end of November, this movie is going to be free. So I forgot to mention that before you bought it on day one.
Right.
My bad. So
let me tell you how this story broke in the Ketchum house.
Do tell.
So we all know how I feel about Mulan. I get a text from Kayla. Or should I say, Kalo? I get a text from Kalo, and she says, "Oh my God, Dad, did you hear?" I wrote back, "What?" And she said, "Did you hear about Mulan?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "It's going to be free on what December 4th or the end of November or something like that." Yeah. She said, "It's going to be free." And then she goes, "I feel so bad for David." So I wrote her back, "Why do you feel bad for David?" And she said, "Because he said on the podcast that he was going to be really annoyed if Disney tried to like make you buy it and then it's free later." And I said, "I don't think David was going to buy it for $30." And then and she said, "Yeah, but he talked about how annoying it would be if they made it free later."
Yeah, it's totally annoying. It's not personally affecting me, but it's totally annoying.
Isn't that funny when we get annoyed about stuff that has nothing to do with us? Like, we're not the ones getting ripped off $30.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean,
now
I'll actually probably smile a little bit after someone tells me that I spent $30 on it. Did you?
So I have a question.
Okay.
And maybe this makes me less of a movie guy than I should be, but this whole, I have access to a movie theater, a full-on, full-blown theatrical movie theater, first-class presentation.
What?
And I could, with no effort at all, I could go upstairs and set up my little Apple TV box and watch Mulan in a movie theater. I have Disney, I think, but whatever. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm building up to. I have no interest in this. This whole conversation, this business model, the way this unfolded, the way the year has unfolded, to me, Mulan represents COVID-19 and a horrendous year for the world, but also for the movie business, specifically for the movie business. But to me, this movie is a great example of there's so much bad vibes related to the release strategy that I now no longer want to see it. Are you with me? When this movie's available to you somehow, either at a friend's house or whatever, are you going to watch this movie? Do you feel like you're missing out on not seeing Mulan?
I was really actually the last couple trailers, I was really getting pumped for it, but the reviews have not been very positive. And that has knocked it down quite a bit in my standing, because I thought they were going to do it right here.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of hope for this movie. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it. I probably, honestly, if I was somewhere and someone said, "Let's watch Mulan," and I didn't have to contribute to paying for it, sure, why not? I'm curious enough. I want to know.
But
I'm not going to go out of my way for this movie. When it's free, I'll probably watch it.
I don't know. I see myself... not even like if I'm flipping around and it comes across on Netflix or Disney or whatever, I'll probably just keep flipping. I'd rather rewatch the documentary about Kip Chang breaking the 2-hour marathon record than watching Mulan.
That shocks me, and I would never expect that from you.
All right, we got 4 solid trailers to talk about this week.
Someone commented to me. They said, if Penn says he doesn't have all this time to read Dune, but he reads like 7 or 8 books about running a month, I don't get it.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. So on to trailers. Sorry. 4 trailers.
Just a little sidebar about whoever feels like they need to comment on my training time. I've actually talked myself into a little bit of a situation here.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, I started talking trash with my coach.
That's always a good idea.
My mouth has been getting me into trouble for 50 years. And here's the problem. My coach, as you know, is a professional triathlete. And he's one of the – I think he's the fastest cyclist in certainly Pennsylvania. He's one of the best in the country. And so in other words, he's one of the top triathletes, and cycling is his forte. So I've been talking trash with him, and I got myself talked into a situation where we are racing each other in Maryland on October 2nd. The deal is we're going to go down to this course. That the fastest I've ever ridden the course was 2 hours and 36 minutes. And the fastest that he's ever ridden the course was 2 hours flat. So he's going to give me a 36-minute head start.
A 36-minute head start.
36-minute head start, and then try to track me down. So I've been training my ass off trying to get ready for this race, which started as like a passing comment, like while we were hanging out, like sipping coffee, you know, and we were like, oh yeah, we should ride that course together. And then I was like, oh yeah, I could never ride with you. You'd have to be like, you know, on a mountain bike, like putting no effort in to be at my pace. And we sort of started passing like along this conversation, and it built up, and you know, it just started talking trash. And now it's like, you would think it was like, you know, the Super Bowl or something. We're going hardcore. So I'll report back when we do the show that week. It'll be pretty interesting to see how that plays out.
Ooh, boy.
All right, sorry, I interrupted our train of thought, but the Dune trailer, No Time to Die, Possessor, Broken Hearts Gallery, 4 solid trailers.
Yeah.
Did you watch all these?
I didn't watch the Broken Hearts one.
All right.
But let me start off with...
Please.
The trailer for the trailer that comes out this week that will rock your world. And that's the Dune trailer for the trailer. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so good.
Oh,
it's so good. It's amazing. It's like imagery is perfect, on point. And it's short. It's like what, a minute or less. And all it is, it's really, it plays before Tenet, and it's a trailer for the trailer that comes out this week. It's barely even a teaser. The logo is amazing. The actors look, the costumes look amazing. The ornithopter, which is the planes they have in it, they look amazing, like just like you would imagine them. It just looks so good. I'm so pumped for this. It's good enough. The person I was watching it with, Simba's sister, and she said, "You know, maybe I should read this." And I said, "Yeah, you should." So, boom.
Boom. There you go. I'm so glad to hear that. I loved the trailer too, but all I was thinking during the trailer was, dear Lord, I hope David likes this trailer. That's so, all I was thinking.
So far, it looks amazing. And like there were big things like the desert people, the Fremen, they have face masks, and like most of the production photos show them without the face masks on. And I was glad to see they had the face masks, because the whole thing is that they're supposed to conserve moisture, and the only part of them that's like visible is the eyes. And in some of the other movies, they don't have anything on their face or their heads because you got to see the actors. Mm. And the fact that they had them wearing the face masks for like a lot of scenes, like that, just they're paying attention to detail, you know?
That's it, man. That's not so hard. Just that's all we're asking. Pay attention to detail.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know that there's anywhere to watch this other than to see Tenet. So if you haven't seen Tenet, which you probably should, or you can wait 2 days and you can see the real trailer on the 9th.
Yeah, September 9th, the real trailer drops. So that would be what, Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to look up. I haven't heard from the studio how I'm supposed to, like, I don't think I've received that trailer yet. I'll look into that.
Okay. Cool.
So obviously that's your trailer of the week.
Oh, hands down.
Trailer of the month.
Yeah. But if I had to pick another one, it would be this next one you're going to talk about.
No Time to Die. James Bond, Daniel Craig. This movie was supposed to come out, what, March or April, something like that. Right around the time that the COVID broke. And I am really happy that – well, so first of all, I mean, this is a – this trailer is ridiculous. But I'm also pleased the studio is really making a good effort. They're sending us new posters with the correct date, a new standee, new banners, got this new trailer. I thought the trailer was legit. And I'm really happy to see like the Facebook chatter on the various Penn Cinema Facebook pages. People are psyched for this movie. And I think this trailer is doing the job of helping get people psyched.
Yeah. I will have to say, I saw that there was a new trailer. I almost didn't watch it, except for I saw people hyping it up. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out for the show. It's a good trailer. And I thought, do we need another trailer? No. But it actually, it had new content. It had new beats. It was like beats the story plot. It didn't, I don't think it overshared anything of the movie. Like it didn't spoil stuff, in my opinion, right. or anything. And that's exactly what you need from another trailer. Like I thought it was just going to be more of like just the same thing with like a couple more scenes. And it definitely put a lot more into it. The other trailer was all about, you know, Bond's past coming back to haunt him.
Right.
This trailer shows that like there's a world, a global threat that they have to stop. And a little bit more into like Rami Malek's villain and stuff. I thought this was an excellent trailer for Bond and I'm super pumped. And
yeah,
today is the 7th. As you know, it's my monthly Bond day. So what's up? We're watching Bond. So I'm pretty pumped to like go in because we're watching Skyfall today. So what's up?
Oh, I love Skyfall.
Yeah. We're also watching Quantum of Solace. So
like I said, I love Skyfall.
Yeah, exactly. So
then we also watched the uncut trailer for Possessor. We had already seen an early trailer for this, right?
Right. But this one actually showed us what the heck was going on.
A little bit.
Yeah. So it's a killer that can possess people. Well, she transfers her mind into them. And something happens in this kill where the host body refuses to take the command. And like the person's personality fights back. And so apparently when she exits them, I think she normally puts them in situations where they get killed by the police or something, is what they kind of showed. But in this situation, when she exits the person's psyche, they can kind of remember that they were possessed, and then they go after her.
Mm. I don't know. So one of the tags at the end of this trailer was the first great science fiction movie of the decade. Okay, we're in 2020, so had there been any other science fiction movies released this decade?
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot, okay.
Yeah, right? But I mean...
So I guess I'm not going to argue. I feel like some marketer guy like wrote that little tagline and thought he was cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'll see this movie. It looks scary as hell. It had the same – did it remind you – I don't know why I have Terminator on my mind today, but did it remind you a little bit of that, like some gritty, futuristic, weird vibes to it, or is that just me?
I got the gritty, futuristic part. I didn't really get the Terminator thing.
Yeah, I mean there were no Terminators, but –
Sean Bean's the villain or the victim or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right. Well, our last trailer of the week actually made me feel pretty good. It's interesting, in this time we opened Tenet Plus. Actually, when we reopened on August 28th, we reopened with 6 new titles, and then we added Tenet. So we sort of had a rush of new content to deal with. And this week we only have 1 new title coming out. Broken Hearts Gallery is a Sony picture. It made me happy because it looks to me like a very straightforward romantic comedy about a girl who's down on her luck and she's always having trouble with love and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we've seen this movie before, and yet it looks really well made. It's kind of an interesting premise, and I bet you it's going to have a nice feel-good ending. So I feel like this might be the first movie since we reopened that sort of caters a little bit more to, like, for example, Date Night. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit of the older crowd was excited to see the personal history of David Copperfield. All the guys wanted to see Tenet and Unhinged. New Mutants trended pretty young. I think Broken Hearts is the first movie since we've been reopened that really caters to, like, everybody. Sort of a feel-good romantic comedy, straightforward, PG-13, bring your wife, bring your girlfriend, bring your boyfriend, you know, whatever. So I know you didn't watch this movie, so I won't ask you to, or didn't watch the trailer, but it was cute, looked cute. I'm probably going to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't miss that this trailer. I mean, I missed that this trailer was new, and you put it on here, and I just didn't see it till after we started recording. So that's the only reason I didn't watch it, not because of...
Yeah, it's not a remarkable trailer, but if you're listening and you have a loved one, even like Top 10 Sarah could bring boyfriend Chris, maybe he would like to watch it, you know, something like that. I bet you this would be a good one for the Mystery Gobble and his wife.
Boyfriend Chris is definitely down with this one.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Our movie of the week this week was Christopher Nolan's, I'll just say what they were calling it, Christopher Nolan's masterpiece.
Really?
I'll just let that sink in. I'm not ready to go there yet, but that doesn't take away from the fact I did love this movie. The movie, of course, is Tenet, starring Bobby Batts and what's the name of the main guy? John Washington, I think.
I'm just gonna I think this movie's pretty good in some ways. So that's about as far as I can go. Now, spoilers. So if you can't talk about this movie without spoilers, I don't think. So full on spoilers. This movie has a lot of problems.
All right, here's the thing. I want to just say this out the gate.
Yeah.
I know you hate sports analogies, but I'm going to hit you with one. Okay? Star quarterback, guy has won the Super Bowl. Maybe he's even won the Super Bowl twice. Maybe he's even won the Super Bowl three times. And then he goes out to play a season of football and maybe makes the playoffs. But everybody's like, oh, well, he didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, so it was a bad year. To me, that's Tenet. Like, this is not Christopher Nolan's best movie. If you compare Tenet to all the rest of the movies, you would say, oh, it's better than most of them. It's one of the better movies. This is a great movie. I loved this movie. I recommended it to all my friends. On the other hand, it's not – I didn't think it was as good as any of the Dark Knight trilogy. I didn't think it was as good as Inception. I don't know. Some of us thought it was better than Memento. Some of us didn't. I don't know. That's kind of where I land. Like, to me, the fact that we're not raving about this movie shows you how high we hold Christopher Nolan in regard. You know, we expect amazing things from him. And we got this great movie with this incredible soundtrack and these incredible performances and a lot of great things about it. And yet you're sitting here going, this was a good movie.
Yeah, I don't hate this movie by any means. I have a lot of negative things to say about it, but it's not horrible by any means. It's a solid film in many ways. It's just I'm struggling now, having seen it, to know who to recommend it to, because I feel like I watched it with Simba's sister, and I feel like she had kind of like a reaction to this movie that I would equate to maybe a more broad audience appeal reaction. And let me tell you the different places we were in this movie. We're halfway through the movie, right? And at this point, nothing makes any sense. And I'll get back to that. And I'm thinking in my head, this is bothering me, but I probably need to watch this movie again, and then it'll make more sense. Like, whatever they reveal at the end, it'll probably be fun to rewatch this movie and, knowing what things are, pick things out. And I leaned over to tell her, we're going to need to watch this again. And she, before I got it out of my mouth, she says, I'm never watching this movie again. and I started to laugh. Within 3 minutes, she's like, I really just want this movie to be over. I hate this. And she's like, I have no idea what's going on, and I don't care anymore. And I think that that is the biggest problem with this movie, is it trips over itself constantly. It's like when writing it, I don't know how to like, I'm going to say these negative things, but I'm not saying that it's absolutely horrible, but it's like this movie, it's like every scene they wrote, they thought, whatever happened in the last scene, we need to turn it upside down. Like, whatever concept we just introduced you to, wait a second. Here's something new to change that. Here's something new to change that. And it just, it happened so much that you had trouble kind of following the premise of things, because at the very beginning of the movie, they're like, these objects are inverted. And he's like, well, what does that mean? It's traveling backwards through time. And she puts her, you know, either with the gun where he catches the bullet, or he puts his hand out and the bullet goes up into his hand. She's like, it doesn't matter if you actually dropped it. It's the intent of dropping it. And from either perspective, you either dropped it or it went into your hand. But then later on in the movie, they reveal that things moving backwards are actually moving backwards with purpose, as in someone inverted actually moved them in that direction, and that's why they're going back in time. So the thing with the hand, with the picking it up and dropping it, no longer makes any sense, because
it makes total sense, because an inanimate object cannot have purpose. But if a person has, like a bad guy has been inverted, then they can be inverted with purpose because they're a human being.
No, right. But the bullet going back up into his hand doesn't make any sense, because
right.
That's the part that doesn't, like, the rest of it's fine. Like, if you see a bullet that's going in reverse, and then it goes into a guy who's also going in reverse his gun, that makes sense. But if a guy going forward picks up a gun and the bullet goes reverse, that doesn't make any sense, because someone had to have shot it forward. It does, yeah. Anyway, so
all right. Well, I got something. I want to say three things.
Okay. All right.
First of all, the imagery.
Oh.
Like amazing. The fight scenes and the car chasing scenes, where the two different scenes were happening in the same car chase, and it was revealed to you when after he was going backwards, after he was inverted, John David Washington was inverted, and that was one of the most exciting theater moments. Like, to see that play out on the big screen was amazing.
Yeah, that stuff was really cool. I think that the movie semi gave things away a little bit too much. There's a scene where the wife is like being taken into custody, and the camera like pauses for a really long time on like a vehicle just sitting there. And of course it's John David Washington in reverse sitting in the car, like watching her.
Right.
Yeah, that part kind of like, it's like, oh, okay.
I put some of those chase scenes up with some of his best work ever. The chase scene when the trucks are all, you know, squishing the SUV. And I mean, that was unbelievable. The second thing I wanted to say was, oh, well, back to the first thing, the fight scene when he's like crawling and like kind of like, I mean, it was just like mind blowing. I thought it was really entertaining. And like at that moment, I was not thinking about anything in the world except how cool that scene was happening right in front of me. I had achieved the moment of being completely absorbed and lost in the film, which, you know, is not something you take for granted. Second thing I want to say was, my friend that I watched it with, who's a good, you know, insightful movie guy, he said to me on the way out, we were talking about the film, and he said he liked it, he enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. He said his problem with the movie was he can't point to any part of the movie where something happened. Like the main character, like there was no big reveal, there was no big change to the main character. He didn't achieve something, he didn't realize something, there was no aha moment, except maybe in the final frames when he was, you know, talking to Robert Pattinson, going like, "Well, I'll see you at the beginning," or, you know, something like that, like some kind of reveal that the whole thing hasn't happened yet, or I don't know, some kind of mind-bending concept like that. But there was no obvious point of the film where, like, things turned and things changed.
Yeah.
Like, he never got control of being backwards.
Right. Right. That's the whole, there is no control of being backwards. That's the whole thing. It's like,
right.
The ending too, like, when it was revealed, I was like, ah, because that's just a Doctor Who trope that happens all the time.
Where, right.
Yeah.
The third thing I want to say is that same friend and I were walking out of the movie, talking about it. When the movie started and the soundtrack started, the music and sort of the whole nine yards, the whole experience, he leans over to me and he says, "Hans Zimmer is amazing." And I said, "Yeah, this is incredible." And then so after the movie, the whole time I'm sitting there watching this movie, amazed at how talented Hans Zimmer is. And afterwards, we're talking about the movie and we're talking about how amazing the chase scenes were and all this and how awesome Hans Zimmer is and how just, you know, oh, it just made the movie and oh, blah, blah, blah. That afternoon, he texted me what you, I'm sure, already know, which is that Hans Zimmer, in fact, had nothing to do with this movie. This poor bastard, Ludwig Göransson, or Göransson, he did all the music, right?
And he
did it brilliantly. I mean, the soundtrack is incredible. And I guarantee you there were thousands of people all around the world walking out of this movie saying to themselves, "Boy, that Hans Zimmer is really great."
The music is so great. I like how when things are inverted, the tones are really high instead of really low.
Yeah.
That end battle scene is really a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And our friend pointed out in listeners' notes, the closing battle scene is 10 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
They all check their watches and say 10 minutes. And by the way, little shout out to Lancaster, one of Lancaster's finest.
Oh.
The watches that they check for 10 minutes, those are Hamilton watches.
Really?
Yeah. 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 You can buy them. You can buy a limited edition Tenet Hamilton watch for it's only $2,095.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's not crazy expensive. So, yeah, get yourself a Hamilton watch and you can be just like John David Washington. But all kidding aside, Joel Coates pointed out the battle scene is 10 minutes long and the name of the movie is 10, spelled forward and then backward, creating the word Tenet. So I thought that was kind of a neat twist and I didn't catch that. So thanks to Joel for pointing that one out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, I think I understand what you're saying, and I guess I'm a little higher on the movie than you are, but I hear you. It was not perfect, but I thought it was great. As a moviegoer, I felt like this is what I need.
I will watch the movie again.
Definitely.
I think that this movie may get better in rewatches, and this whole, like, tripping over the scenes and trying to break your mind in every scene is a Christopher Nolan trope. It's one of the reasons I didn't like Inception. So it's one of the things he does. So if you like Nolan, you're probably going to like that aspect. Maybe not.
And one last comment, because I know we heard this from a couple people who wrote in, and I heard it from customers standing in the lobby. I need to put this movie on sale, and I'll do it today. I need to put it on sale with subtitles. I'm going to put open caption on sale. So I know there's a bunch of fans who want to see this movie again, but felt like they had trouble following all the dialogue. So we'll do that.
I want to make a note of that. So it is very difficult to understand. That's another thing that we commented on while watching, because I can't understand what they're saying. People asked Nolan about that because that's the way that he mixed the movie. It's not because – I know Joe Colds kind of brought up maybe it was because the theater was mostly empty because of, you know, the quarantine limitations. And that's what we were kind of thinking as well when we saw it. But apparently this is just how the movie is mixed and it's made. And when people asked Christopher Nolan why he mixed the movie like that, he said the dialogue isn't that important.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, he said that the emotions are conveyed through the actions and the music and the dialogue.
And I think, honestly, I think that's fair enough. Yeah. I believe it. That makes sense.
Especially at the beginning of the movie where they're like, yeah, it's best not to think about it.
Right. You know? Right, right, yeah. Right, right.
So, all right.
All so right, Tenet, so that's our movie review for Tenet.
Yeah, I think we're on board. But
yeah,
if you have to pick on or off. But all right, on to listener notes, questions, reviews, and comments. The electronic Encyclopedia Brown wrote in. He said,
Listen, we've been calling him EB. It could be Encyclopedia Brown, or it could be the Electric Boogaloo. I mean, could go either way. I'm not one to point fingers.
Well, he writes in and he says, my pick for the new Nutty Professor would be Eddie Redmayne. I would love to see him attempt a comedic role, but I can see Hollywood going the annoying route, casting Kevin Hart, Adam Devine, or Anna Faris.
Totally. Totally. And it would be super annoying if they did cast Kevin Hart, Adam Devine, or Anna Faris. I think Eddie Redmayne would be a great pick.
Yeah.
I suspect that Eddie Redmayne is a little too uppity. You know, he likes to do fancy, artsy concept movies,
yeah,
which is fine. I mean, that's cool. I like his movies. I'm a fan. But, yeah, I don't see him.
Yeah.
I don't see him agreeing to be the Nutty Professor, although who knows? That would be pretty cool if he did.
Yeah, I can see Kevin Hart doing it in a heartbeat.
Instantly. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
All right, so we also heard from The Shadow. He gave us a Tenet review. He said, whoa, such a mind bender, and Robert Pattinson was a nice surprise. Such a skilled actor. I do see this becoming the new style of Bond-type series of films. I know I'm no Encyclopedia Brown, but great film, and I will watch again. I've been hearing this a lot, people saying, is this the new Bond film? I don't think that there's room, I mean, an extreme amount of room for this to continue as a series.
Oh, I disagree. I totally disagree. I think Tenet 2 is an easy thing to think about. I think it's easy to see Batty Bats and John David Washington film in a sequel where, I mean, I don't think Christopher Nolan, he's not really into sequels, yeah, Dark Knight notwithstanding, but I could totally see a sequel, and I think, I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be or that there should be, but I'm just saying if there was, it wouldn't surprise me. I love the comparison to James Bond. It's not a perfect analogy or comparison, I should say, but I do dig it. I think it's a fair comparison.
I think I could have seen it up until some of the stuff at the end. But that kind of gave it more of a finite ending to me.
Yeah, but, okay.
All right, moving on to Joel Codes. You want to take this one?
I think we discussed most of the things that Joel wrote in about Tenet being back and forward and struggling with the dialogue and all this kind of stuff. He loved the movie. I think he was as high on it as I was, more in my camp than your camp. But he also wrote us in about Guns Akimbo. Did you ever watch Guns Akimbo?
It's on my list to watch in the next 2 weeks.
I like, this is the one where Harry Potter has the guns taped to his hands, right?
Nailed where they're like, to his hands.
What?
They're nailed they're what? To his hands.
Nailed to his hands. It's like this awful premise. I have come across this movie like a number of times and paused on it and like
been just almost not quite
just can't quite bring myself to press play. But now on the support with the encouragement from Joel Coates, I agree. I'm definitely going to watch Guns Akimbo. And here's his review. And I feel like I have given this review to any number of movies, so it's not like a groundbreaking review. But here it is. This is Joel Coates' review of Guns Akimbo. Is it good in the classical sense? No. Is it going to win any awards? No. Was it a groundbreaking concept or story? No. Was it entertaining as hell? Yes, in all caps. And really, that's all a movie needs to be. I couldn't agree more. I don't care if it's going to win awards. Most of my favorite movies have not won awards. I think that's a great review. And on the strength of that review, I have every intention of watching Guns Akimbo.
Nice. Nice. Well, we got another email.
Did we really, though?
Did we, though? Mystery Gobble wrote in and he said, hey, boys, I'm about like 8 episodes behind. And he's
So he wrote us from August.
Yeah.
And he's
burning through them. And he had a bunch of things to say, but just off the one thing to take it back is in episode 80 or 81, Penn talked about being Penn Ketchum, which led me to a great idea of an animated short biopic called Being Penn Ketchovich. It'd be short since there's not much material to work with.
I love that? The gobble. I'm a big fan, and you know it's all good. Being Penn Ketchovich, there's not a lot. I can tell you, there's not a lot to work with. But I also thought in the email he referenced the movie Being John Malkovich, and he asked us if we had seen it. I am very familiar. I've watched that movie a couple times.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Being John Malkovich? Yeah, this is a great movie. If there's any listeners who have not seen Being John Malkovich, the Mystery Goblin, I highly recommend that you look it up and watch it. He also let me know something that I did not know, which is that the director of that film had originally tried to cast somebody besides John Malkovich to play John Malkovich.
That's crazy.
Did you know that?
No.
No, I didn't know it either, but we fact-checked that, and that thanks to Mystery Gobble, that is true. So look for an animated short biopic coming soon to a I don't know.
Something near you, Disney Plus, for an extra $70 a month.
Right. I think that would be like a Hulu type of film. Gobble also recommended The Young Pope and The New Pope, which are now officially on my list for if you're looking for new shows to binge watch. He had a variety of positive things to say about both of those. And Jude Law, I think, is the star of those, right?
Jude Law stars in The Young Pope. And then
yeah.
John Malkovich stars in The New Pope.
So. Does he really?
Or no, is it McDowell? McDowell stars.
I don't know. Yeah. Either way, that's funny as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's move on and wrap things up with what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing, how you living your life, Penn?
I'm spending all my time training for the Worldwide Super Cup 2020 edition in Cambridge, Maryland.
Oh, my word. When is it happening?
I've been busy. We've been busy with, you know, getting the theater reopened. I've been working a few more shifts than usual, and I don't know. I've just been busy, but I have been catching the Tour de France, which is rolling out. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a bike race out in Europe. I think they play it in France.
What? I thought you could book your Tour de France whenever you wanted.
No, so that's all I got. That's all I'm doing.
All right. Well, I'm continuing to read Gone Tomorrow by Lee Child. I keep falling asleep to it, so I don't know what that says about the book, but it's trouble. I also watched the first 3 episodes of The Boys, which premiered on Friday. A little bit torn on whether or not I like that. And I also watched a movie that I think that you would probably enjoy. I watched this with my mom. It's called A Futile and Stupid Gesture. And it's about one of the creators of National Lampoon's. Kind of
interesting. I'm familiar with that movie, but I never watched it. So you're saying it's good?
It was pretty good. It, you know, it messed with me a little bit because one, I'm stupidly unaware about National Lampoon's, and I didn't even realize that it was a magazine prior to doing movies. I just knew about the movies.
Wasn't it a magazine out of Harvard?
Yeah. And basically, like, the movie starts off, and this actor who I've seen a lot was like, and I didn't know his name. He's like, I'm so-and-so. And it seemed like he was really him. And he's like, and then this is Will Forte playing the younger version of me. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize that was the guy that this movie is about. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, oh yeah, like this real life person committed suicide. I'm not actually him. And I'm like, what?
It's a tough week for you. Between Tenet and The Futile and Stupid Gesture, you've been confused a lot.
Yeah, I've been duped left and right. I don't know what to think. So what are we doing next week?
I mean, I think we should watch Personal History of David Copperfield.
Are you on board with that, or do you want to do Unhinged?
No, I'm on board. I'm on board. David Copperfield.
Okay. All right, cool. Let's do Life of David Copperfield, because I'm pumped for that. So, Cool.
Our film review is Life of David Copperfield, but I'm also putting our listeners on notice and letting them know that I am also going to be watching Unhinged.
Yeah, cool.
And what was – there was another one we talked about earlier in the show. There's a lot.
The one that comes out this week, the Broken Hearts
Gallery. Oh, yeah, Broken Hearts Gallery. I'm going to try to get Amy to watch that with me, maybe have a little movie date.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Amy can't watch movies if there's any shooting or like any violence whatsoever. She won't watch it. That cuts down a lot of that eliminate. Yes, my wife, the wife of a theater owner, she has a very narrow field of move of acceptable movies. But I think that she would enjoy this one. So I'm gonna try to arrange that.
You get 2 minutes into it, it's just like gunfights left and right.
Honey, I swear there was none of that in the trailers.
All right. Well, if you're enjoying the show, we'd love to hear from you. The best way you can do that is send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com, and you know we'll respond either on air or via email. So definitely do that. And if you want to help the show out, the number one way to do that, Penn, what can they do?
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell a friend, and if you don't have any friends, tell us, because you got us. We're your friends. We're happy to hear from you, and I would love for you to write and tell me how much you enjoy the podcast, and then I'll tell my friends, which is David.
Yeah, he gets around. So, all right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care, and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good catch.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's okay.